The longest-running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, and what is going to be our last episode of 2019. Actually, technically our last episode of the decade. That's kind of crazy to think about that. But it is a holiday season, and this episode is going to be all about kind of recapping what we saw in 2019 and looking forward to 2020, because I got to tell you, there's some damn good storylines coming at you in 2020. So this is going to be a bit of a fun one. We're going to shake it up. I mean, obviously not a whole lot of motorsports happening right now. We do have snowcross going on. I will actually be heading to Minnesota to ERX Motor Park for the X Games Snowbike Qualifiers. I'll be hosting that. If you're out in the Minnesota area, make sure and hit me up this weekend. But other than that, I mean, Supercross A1, that is upon us here in a few weeks. But over the holidays, not a hell of a lot going on. I know off-road, we had Rage at the River, insane race there. They had, some 400 race vehicles take that. But by and large, you know, other than PRI show last week that I was at, not a lot happening in the world of motorsports. So we're going to take this episode and look back at some of the things that we saw, we witnessed, and some of the badasses that we're looking forward to watching in action in 2020. So Chris Leone going to be calling in. He's been doing a feature called 20 and 20 on the website. We're going to talk about that. It's 20 drivers to watch in 2020. And then we've also got Baja 1000 champ, good friend of mine, Polaris Razor Factory Racing teammate, Justin Lambert. He will be calling into the show talking about his massive victory in the Baja 1000 a couple of weeks ago. So we've got a ton of content. We got some great people, some great guests. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Make sure and hit us up on social media at JimBeaver15. If you got comments, who are you watching? Who are you expecting to do big things in 2020 or in 2020? Would love to hear from you guys. So chime in. This one is all about the dialogue with the fan base. So we'd love to hear from you guys and, let us know what's on your mind and, what surprised you in 2019. We'd love to hear from you. So we are going to take a short break and we come back. We're going to get rolling here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't go anywhere.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Ford WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, Ford WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to Ford WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at FordWP.com.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCracken, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, kicking off the show. I know this is our go-home episode for 2019. Actually, our go-home episode for the decade, which... I got to tell you, that's kind of crazy. I just started thinking about it during the break. And, you know, this is one of those, like, closing out a decade, you know, and especially for me, like, a lot of people, I was actually born in 1980, right? So I can actually break my life into complete decades, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. You know, it's pretty damn easy for me to do that. You know, if you're born in like 1987 or 97, it's a little bit different, right? But for me, it's really, really easy. And start looking at every single decade of my life. And, you know, specifically this last one, you know, and I've got a lot of people like I've picked up, things have kind of gone bananas on my end. Obviously, I'm doing these shows. A lot of people just know me as a radio personality, TV host. But I'm doing we've got an entire, you know, kind of marketing company that I run. And, you know, it actually started out as a radio show. That's all we did was online radio, right? Most of you tuning in know my story. And, you know, here I was 30 years old and, you know, wasn't exactly stoked on where I was at in life. And, you know, I was a broke race car driver and, you know, decided, you know, let's fire things up here and, you know, let's change it up, and decided to start an online radio show with a Walmart headset I bought for $30, you know, and didn't know what the hell I was doing. Fast forward, that was the end of 2011. Here we are, the end of 2019. So what, 8 years later, you know, kind of give or take a decade. We've grown where I've got multiple shows, national syndication. Obviously, you guys are tuning in, you know, there in AFN or even online. We've got multiple podcasts. We've got a podcast production company. You know, I'm doing some consultant work. I'm now, you know, the marketing director for Vision Wheel, one of our partners on the show, coincidentally. You know, obviously all my TV work, you know, I'm actually publicly, a few people know, but I'm actually the agent for Red Bull athlete Mia Chapman. She was a guest a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we've got a full marketing media company and things like that. So I start looking at a decade, and, you know, it doesn't take an entire decade to change your life. And, you know, I was just thinking about it last week. I'm on this marketing panel at PRI and, you know, answering questions. And I'm like, man, what have I learned in a decade? You want to talk about a decade that literally has changed your entire shift to where you ever thought you would be? That has been the last decade of my life. But, you know, the reason why I bring this up is I get a lot of people all the time. They look at the big picture and they look at where they want to be and they look at where they're at. And they go, there's no way I'm ever going to get that. And, you know, I will give a lot of credit to a very good friend of mine, Matt Martelli. You know, and you guys know him from Mad Media, Mint 400. And, you know, at the beginning, I didn't even know him, but I started and stuff like that. And somehow, you know, he took a liking to me and we were talking. And I was kind of frustrated. No partners coming on board, nothing, you know. And he says, look, man, just keep at it. Just keep at it. Keep plugging away. And he's all, Jimmy, I promise you. He's like, in 3 years, he's like, you're going to have people lined up at the door. He's like, but you got to keep at it. And, you know, I started laughing, you know, all right, you know, but you know what I did? I kept at it. I kept doing radio. It was garbage radio at the start. We did have some great guests. I found my voice as a radio host, you know, through this process and everything else. But, you know, fast forward and, you know, he was right. 3 years, it probably took me a little bit longer. But now, I mean, we're dealing with 40 different brands and, you know, we've got employees and, you know, we've got this entire media marketing company and race program, you know, and some amazing, some of the best corporate partners anybody in motorsports or the industry could ever ask for. I mean, General Tire, Vision Wheel, you know, obviously Polaris Razor. I mean, I'm driving Polaris Razors for a living. Who gets to do that, right? So I guess my takeaway from this whole thing is as I close out this decade, which has been amazing, and I'm really looking forward to the next decade, only knowing, you know, wow, things have been so crazy thus far. Where the hell are they going to be at the end of this next decade? Hopefully retired on a beach somewhere with a cold beer in my hand. But, yeah, that's, you know, I look at people, and a lot of people I've done, and I don't know if you want to call it motivational speaking or what, but I've started speaking to people, and they want to know how. And I go, you know what? It just makes one small decision, one small choice. And I know this is a motorsports show and everything else, but I'm telling you, your life can be completely different in one simple choice. You know what I mean? Do what you want to do, right? I mean, you can always choose to leave a job, leave a relationship, you know, move, you know, start something. Like, it's very, very easy. Just, you know, it takes a lot of people. It's hard to look in the mirror and decide you want that, though. And but if you do, and I got to tell you, it's not going to be easy. And I think a lot of people get frustrated because they want it to come easy. It doesn't. But if you want to put in the work, you can make a change. You can make a shift. You can make something happen, you know, and I don't know what that is. Obviously, all my listeners have something different, and maybe you're completely stoked on where the hell you're at. And you know what? High fives to you. I love people like that. But, you know, I also love people that want to build something great. They want to change. They want to shift. And I'm telling you, like, I'm a decade later sitting here, and I would say I've been pretty successful. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you can have whatever you want. You just got to be willing to make the changes, make the hard choices, and go out and get it. And, you know, and it doesn't even take a decade, you know, one small choice, you know, 6 months later, you can have a massive impact and change in your life. But I got to tell you, man, I am absolutely stoked with my job, stoked with work. They say, you know, it's not working. You know, if you enjoy what you do, it's never work. You know, Jason Ellis says what we have is no job jobs, which is a lot of truth in that, you know. And but I'm absolutely thrilled, one, that you guys continue to listen to me. I see the numbers every week and I still go, wow, people actually do still listen. Wow. You know, I'm not as crazy as I thought I am. Yeah, you know, it's just I wish everybody could find what I've found. And it just literally took me with a wild brainchild idea and chasing it, run with it. And, you know, they say follow the dreams, and it's totally, totally true. And I think a lot of people are so scared to get out of their comfort zone that they just don't. And, you know, when you don't, you know, then you get miserable and everything else. So I'm just saying, you know, it's the start of a new decade, man. Why don't you put your stamp on the next one if you don't like where you're at? I'm telling you, it can happen, and it's not not real tough. So that being said, you know, moving on, looking at next year in the new decade, I would love to hear from you guys. It seems like every year about this time I start getting emails, DMs on social media, tweets, stuff like that. People, guest suggestions, formats, way you'd like to change the show, things like that. I would love, love, love to hear from you guys. I think my favorite one ever is everybody always goes, we don't want commercials in the show. And I just start laughing. I'm like, one, we're a national radio show. There's going to be commercials. Two, how the hell do you think we stay in business? You know what I mean? I just think it's funny. It's like, I don't know. It's probably the same people that are you know, watching YouTube videos and then get mad when there's a commercial pop up. You know, it's like, how do you think YouTubers make their money, right? Commercials, you're just going to have to deal with it. We've trimmed them back a little bit in the show. Obviously, my podcasts have less amounts, but yeah, you're just going to have to deal with it. I can't promise you anything on that front. But if you got an idea of an event, some crazy event you'd like me to cover, and come on, be within reason. Like, if you want me to go and cover some crazy boat race in New Zealand or something, chances are I'm not going to do it. But, you know, if there's a crazy event, there's some, I love the guest suggestions, you know, but don't tell me you want Billy Bob, who just won the, you know, the mini stock in his Pinto, you know, at the local Iowa dirt track, you know what I mean? Or something like that on the show. But like, if there's a legit person you think's a good fit, yeah, hit me up. I love getting new guests on the show. Like, that's what it's about. This show has been fan-driven for 8 years now, and you know, and it is will always be about you guys. We're going to bring the people on. We're going to talk the content. It's going to be what you guys want to hear, and that's why we have, you know, I think still stuck around. You know, it's because we listen to you listeners. So that's kind of a weird one. Listen to you listeners, but true story right there. So yeah. I don't know. I'm just looking forward to a start of a fresh year. I know we've got some big announcements coming on where the show might actually air. Yes, you know, we're continuing to expand, continuing to grow. And we've got a lot of good things to come there. So, yeah, I think we're going to shift gears here in just a minute. We're going to have Chris Leone on. We're going to talk with him about 20 drivers, young drivers to watch out for in 2020. Excited about that. Excited about Justin Lambert. So hang tight. We got a lot more coming at you right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZs, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to three full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I haven't been doing power rankings lately because there's nothing really to power rank. I guess we had a little bit of snowcross going on over the weekend, but everything's pretty dark until Supercross kicks off the start of the year. But Chris Leone, he is on the show because, one, we've been doing a little bit, some features. I can't say little features, big feature. 20 to watch in 2020 is what it is. 20 and 20 is what we're calling. But, Chris, you've been kind of spearheading that. I gave you some ideas on some of the drivers I thought that should be on the list. But before we get to that, too, I know Jim Beaver Esports, you kind of run that program for me, and you're also doubling down with iRacing. And, one, you guys had an all-star shootout with iRacing, but, two, our boy on Jim Beaver Esports, Bobby Sant, destroyed, and I'm not hyping things up because he's our driver. He literally destroyed the field in short course.
He certainly did, Jim. Yeah, iRacing All-Stars was kind of – it's an event that's kind of been my baby as far as an idea goes for a long time, and something that you really wouldn't be able to execute in the real world without having – I don't know, Richard Branson money to kind of throw at it. It was four events: Dirt Street Stocks at Lernerville Speedway, Audi TCR cars at Barcelona, the Formula One track, NASCAR Xfinity Series cars at Charlotte, and then finally the Lucas Oil Off-Road Pro 4s at Wild West. And each of these events, half an hour or less, I mean, you know, we ran 30 laps at Lernerville. It was just this bang, 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 bang event. And we had separate European splits and North American splits. And what it came down to as far as the drivers were all of the world champions from this year on iRacing were invited, and all of the drivers who qualified from multiple series were invited. So this really was a showdown of the best of the best. And as a response, seven different drivers won the eight races. And as you mentioned, Bobby Sant just wrapped it up and put a nice bow on it for you, Jim Beaver Esports, by just kind of dominating the Pro 4 race to send off the North American portion. Bobby was the fastest qualifier by more than a tenth over Mitchell DeYoung, who is a name I'm sure that most of our listeners are familiar with. But Bobby got a clean start, and there was a big wreck behind him in the second corner, so that certainly helped, but he was just laying down consistent lap times and had the biggest margin of victory of the day, 8.64 seconds, you know, which, just considering some of the battles that we had seen, and, you know, I know the iRacing Facebook just shared about a 3.5 minute TCR battle between two guys. I mean, it was such a cool event, and it was, I mean, the biggest point of it was to bring some of the teams and some of the drivers into series that, you know, and onto vehicles that they never would be otherwise. I mean, we saw a Red Bull NASCAR back on track on Saturday through this event. And that touring car battle I just mentioned, you had a Loewenbrow Motorsports car, you know, with all the Loewenbrow Motorsports ARX sponsors and liveries. And then it was battling with a Joe Gibbs Racing Interstate Batteries car. It's just, you know, that was kind of the whole purpose of the event, was bring everybody into series and into vehicles and into disciplines that they don't normally run. It was a hell of a time. The replay is online. I know that you had posted earlier this week the clip of Bobby taking the checkered flag. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I can't wait to do it again next year, and I can't wait to see who qualifies for it next year, although I would like to invite all seven drivers who won back. So I guess that says good things for Bobby and six other drivers who were able to be the best of the best.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a fun deal. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was kind of cool. You know, it's, I don't know how you even explain it, you know, but just having a bunch of drivers and disciplines they're maybe not so familiar with was kind of fun. Almost like a Race of Champions type of deal where you got to compete in a bunch of different disciplines and cars and stuff like that and crown an overall winner. You know, I don't know. I kind of like the concept, kind of a fun way to wrap up, you know, 2019 and kind of look forward to 2020, I think.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, you know, I grew up a big fan of the International Race of Champions. I loved those IROC events, but the thing about it was they were always so skewed towards the NASCAR guys because most of those races were run on NASCAR companion weekends. Half the field was NASCAR guys. So you'd get some IndyCar drivers to show up. You'd get, you know, I think Steve Kinser, when he was dominating World of Outlaws, was a pretty consistent presence there, you know, but it never seemed like a totally fair fight. Because you really were limited to kind of mile and a half super speedways or larger. You know, Daytona was obviously the flagship, you know, but this, because you don't have to worry about maintaining $3 million of machinery or so per driver, you know, you're able to do something fun and interesting and fresh and unique. And, you know, obviously I come from a motorsports background that's kind of like that. I mean, Rallycross is supposed to be a mixture of just about everything that everybody loves from all sorts of motorsports. And, you know, in this case, we were kind of able to broaden it out. And, you know, the drivers who won the championships really were, you know, two of the most diverse drivers. Jack Sedgwick in the European one, he was the only driver to win two races over the course of the event. And Mitchell managed to hang on to the championship in the North American region as well, you know, had a victory in there. I believe in the touring car race was the best of the non-NASCAR guys in the oval, you know. So the guys who ran up front really were some of the most talented people on iRacing. And, you know, same for the drivers who ended up taking the victories. Bobby, Sebastian Jobe put that Red Bull Racing Esports NASCAR in victory lane, which is something that, you know, old-time NASCAR fans from 10 years ago were further back probably thought would never happen again, but that was obviously exciting. You know, it was just, I can't thank everybody involved enough because that event really was my baby. And, you know, it just, when it was finished, I was so amped. I just wanted to do the whole thing again, but now we got to wait a year.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's one of those where it's, I don't know, it's worth the wait. You know, I think if you do it too often, then it's like, it loses its luster. But being that it's once a year, gives these guys something to look forward to and things like that. I know you talked about IROC and I started laughing because I remember there was one year where John Force, he'd won his millionth championship or whatever, and they never gave him an IROC invite. And he got very vocal in the media and he was pissed off because it had been like 5 years and he hadn't had an invite. And, you know, he just won all these championships, all these races, and they refused to give him an invite. So at one point, Force, he starts taking to the media, and he starts talking mad trash on IROC and the whole thing and how they're scared of John Force and these drivers can't handle it. And he thinks that they don't think he can turn left. And he's like, I can drive 300 miles an hour. I can turn left better than anybody. And, like, I remember he was just trash talking. He's like, they think I need to go to driving school. He's like, send me to driving school. I'll show them driving instructors how to drive. And I just remember, and he, you know what, John Force never got his invite either. I think it would have been fun, throw Force in there just to see what the hell happens, you know.
Oh, that would have been phenomenal. I mean, I know that iRacing in the past has kind of done the Pro Race of Champions too, where you've had all sorts of drivers. And actually, that's one of the cool things. Ron Capps has always been a big advocate of iRacing, and you see Ron Capps, you know, on the service, and he'll drive all sorts of different things. So, you know, that's obviously really cool. It's, believe me, if we ever bring the Pro Race back, it doesn't matter what you race. I mean, come on board. You've got a lot of drivers. You've got everybody from F1 to NASCAR pros to IndyCar pros to you name it. You know, there's probably a top level driver in the series who is an iRacer. So, you know, we'd invite anybody, and that's really what we tried to do, because there are all sorts of different disciplines. There's a NASCAR World Championship, there's a Porsche World Championship, multiple World of Outlaws series, Rallycross, you know, and talk about four types of racing that could not be more different from one another. And we just kind of put all those drivers in the blender, said, hey, you get 10 minutes in qualifying to figure this car out, and then you get, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 laps on the ovals, and you know, about 10 laps to figure it out on the road courses, and good luck. You know, may the best driver win. And, you know, by my estimation, I think the two best drivers did win. And my favorite part about it, both of these mini series, they came down to the last race. For the Europeans, there were four different drivers who came into that Pro 4 final race. And if they won that race, they would win the championship with nothing anybody else could do about it. That, to me, is the hallmark of good competition, and that was exciting as hell to watch.
Yeah. How did the Europeans do on short course? I got to ask. How did they do? Because that's something completely out of their wheelhouse.
They did pretty well. Actually, I mean, everybody adapted really, really well to the different forms of racing that they weren't used to. I mean, I got to actually start with the dirt street stocks, because that really set the tone. You had two guys who were teammates beating on each other coming out of turn four, and the margin of victory was 0.016 seconds to start off that dirt street stock, you know, portion of it. The Europeans adapted pretty well to the short course. Jack Sedgwick, who I mentioned that won the European Championship, just drove a clean race, qualified first. You know, you didn't have a lot of wrecks. You didn't have a lot of DNFs. But the NASCAR drivers adapted fantastically to the touring cars, and the Porsche guys put on a hell of a show in the NASCARs as well, which was really exciting. You had, with a couple of laps to go, Max Benecke, who was one of the top drivers in the Porsche eSports Super Cup, actually moved Sedgwick in turn two, got him fully sideways. Both of them managed to save it. They hung on for second and third, and then, as I mentioned, Sebastian Job was kind of dominant out in front of them. But you know, the Porsche guys put on maybe their best show in the NASCARs, and the NASCAR guys put on maybe their best show in the touring cars, you know. So that was really cool to see. And like I mentioned, just guys running paint schemes that you'll never see in the real world on those various cars, you know, with the support of their teams, was just downright awesome.
That is awesome. You know, and it's funny you mentioned iRacing and esports and sim racing. And I was just obviously at PRI, as listeners know, and you know, Chris, and that's, you know, people, it was all over the place. People just talking about sim racing and iRacing and esports. And it's like the buzzword right now. I mean, I was on a panel with Mitchell DeYoung, and we both kind of got quizzed on our esports involvement. But afterwards, Vince, his dad, he's really trying to push me to get a sim rig. So I don't know. We'll see if I pull the trigger or not. Vince is pushing me, and I don't know. They make some damn good sim rigs over there, the DeYoungs do. But we got to take a short break. And when we come back, Chris and I, we will jump into 20 for 20 or 20 in 20, and we'll return here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than and Polaris in their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP 4-1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Chris Leone here. Just getting done recapping the iRacing All-Star event. But moving forward, we got to talk about 20 in 20. What Chris and I put together for the website, Chris mainly, me, I just gave him a few ideas, but normally it's Chris that runs with a ball. It's 20 of these young, up-and-coming, doesn't have to be super young, but some of the talents to look out for in the year 2020. People, kids, drivers that we've got pegged for a breakout year or a massive year in 2020, and we kind of put our heads together. I gave you some names, Chris. You've run with the rest, but before we get into that, I know one of the names on our list obviously was Haley Deegan, and big breaking news coming out literally as we record this. Rumors have been swirling for about a week now, but it is official. Haley Deegan moving from Toyota to Ford. Ford Performance signing to a massive contract, and she will be running a Ford in the ARCA series full-time in 2020, and then I'm assuming as she moves up through the ladder system into Cup, she will remain with Ford. So massive, massive moves there, Chris. I mean, Haley's been synonymous with Toyota for quite some time. I mean, that had to have been a big, big check to get Haley to jump ship.
No doubt, Jim. But remember, I mean, you and I have been in this, in the off-road world and the motorsports world for quite a while. And you and I probably identified the Deegan name a little more with Ford because, you know, Brian Deegan had been a Ford driver for so long, won X Games Gold and Rallycross in a Ford. You know, every year that I was at GRC, Brian was running a Ford. He ran Fords and off-road. There are a lot of more recent, maybe, fans of Haley or more recent fans of NASCAR that see the name Deegan as synonymous with Toyota. But in reality, this is kind of a homecoming for that family. And DGR Crosley just made the switch over to Ford, probably feeling like in that Toyota driver development pipeline, like they needed to make a change to try and get some more support. Haley moving up to ARCA, now that she has turned 18, she's able to run the biggest tracks on the ARCA schedule, including Daytona, so she can go for that championship. That's a big part of the reason, I think, why she was in K&N for the couple of years that she was, what is now the ARCA Menard Series East and West. But it's going to be really interesting to see how she does. Obviously, ARCA, you know, it's been a super exciting series to watch over the past couple of years. You know, we went to Charlotte for the General Tire 150 earlier this year, and God, did they put on a hell of a show. So it's going to be really exciting to see Haley join that championship and go for that championship. She's had some really strong results in K&N before the rebrand. You know, I don't see any reason to expect anything different just because she switched manufacturers. You know that Ford is going to put those resources behind her. And as a matter of fact, they're also putting her in a GT4 in the IMSA Pilot Challenge, you know, for selected races, starting with Daytona at the end of January. She's going to pair with Chase Briscoe, who's been another big Ford development driver. So, you know, they're really committed to rounding her out as a driver who can do just about anything. So, you know, it's going to be really exciting to see that. That's an opportunity that I don't think she would have had with Toyota. It'll be exciting to see if she does get back behind the wheel of a Prolite for Crandon at the very least. I'm sure she will be there. But definitely a lot of things to be excited about watching Haley Deegan in 2020. And yes, a big reason why she made the 20 in 20 list that we are in the process of sharing.
Well, you know, and that being said, I mean, going through a couple of those, I do want to key in. I know Red Bull just announcing this program to develop off-road talent into Dakar drivers. And I know a couple of names on that list. You know, we got Blade Hildebrand. Well, they could be on the list, but I know Seth Quintero, Blade Hildebrand, Mitch Guthrie Jr., all three named to that program as, you know, future Dakar drivers with Red Bull. So, you know, and I know Seth Quintero, he was a key piece on that. What's he going to do this year? Is he going to move up to turbo? Is he going to stay in NA? Well, you know, obviously we're going to see him back in desert racing, but even in a bigger way, it's a part of this Red Bull program.
Definitely. And yeah, Seth was one of the first names that we had to put on this list and was kind of a no-brainer for both of us. When you almost go perfect in a desert racing season, it doesn't matter what championship you're running. You know, you could be running score, you could be running best in the desert. I don't care. The amount of things that can go wrong in a desert championship, the amount of miles that you have to cover, the amount of fluky whatevers that can just take you out of the hunt to win every race but your last one is such a dominant performance. And by that point, you basically have the championship locked up anyway. So, you know, completing that perfect season is more a point of pride than anything, you know. But man, Seth Quintero had to be probably the driver of the year for best in the desert for being just that dominant. And it's going to be really exciting to see what he does, whether he stays in the normally aspirated cars, which, you know, might not hurt just because you're not getting rushed up the pipeline, or if he does move up to turbo because he's proven that he's probably ready for it. You know, whatever he ends up doing though, he's probably going to be scoring quite a few more wins and podiums. And, you know, again, had to be one of the first drivers that we put on the list.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, and I'm just spitting names off, some on the list, some maybe not. I know Colton Herta, another one we got keyed in on. Massive, massive rookie year. He did have some ups and downs, though, you know, but he, moving to Andretti, Chris, I expect massive things out of Colton Herta in 2020. I know he was on the list. You know, and then looking at IndyCar, another name in my mind, you know, and this has been breaking news in the past week, Connor Daly. He's going to be in that that split ride with Ed Carpenter, you know, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be doing the road courses. Carpenter will be doing the ovals, but Connor going to be also doing the Indy 500 in that second seat for Ed Carpenter Racing. And I got to tell you, what a score for Connor Daly. I mean, he's going to have a front-running car at the Indy 500, and he gets to split time with Ed Carpenter. And you know, that program is rock solid.
In fairness, also, what a score for Ed Carpenter Racing, because Connor really is one of the best drivers floating out there in IndyCar right now that hasn't always had the opportunity to really shine. We've seen him in full-time competition a little bit, but never really with the opportunities that, you know, I think most of us feel like he's deserved. But yeah, Connor definitely on the list. Colton Herta was actually the first name on the list, and part of the reason for that was one of the things that we agreed on when we launched this was we wanted it to include primarily drivers who still have room to grow. You know, Lewis Hamilton is not going to be on this list because
we know what's going
to
happen.
You know, it's kind of, yeah, it's a given. We kind of know what's going to happen with Lewis Hamilton. You know, it's going to be an absolute shock if he doesn't come home with the F1 title next year. You know, so a guy like Colton Herta, the fact that he had an up and down season made him one of the most obvious picks for this, because there is still room for him to advance. And yeah, we're both on the same page that we think with Andretti, he's going to do it. Pato O'Ward was one of my picks, even though it's not necessarily popular that he's replacing one of the drivers to replace James Hinchcliffe with Arrow McLaren Schmidt Peterson. Fact of the matter is Pato O'Ward has tons of untapped potential. We didn't really get to see it last year with him with Tarlin, and then the move to Red Bull, and then the move out of Red Bull, on and on and on. You know, he's finally going to have some stability, and we'll get to see what he's got as well.
Yeah, well, ones to watch for me, if they land seats, are going to be Sebastian Bourdais and Mr. James Hinchcliffe, because I feel like both of them are going to have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. And I know this is meant for guys that haven't peaked yet, but I got to tell you, anytime you got drivers with chips on their shoulders going into a new season, if and when they do land rides, they're going to be on my list. But I know one that was on both of our lists, and it's funny you mentioned Lewis Hamilton earlier, and this actually is a big endorsement for Charles Leclerc. Lewis Hamilton, the rumors are swirling that his contract with Mercedes ends in 2020. It's a widely given. There's rumors that he may make a switch in 2021 to Ferrari. And part of this negotiations, and this is all rumored and hearsay at this point, is that he wants to make sure, if he does, that he is blatantly named the number one driver, because he thinks that Charles Leclerc has a chance to go in and usurp him, you know what I mean, for the title of number one. So Hamilton wants to make the switch to Ferrari, but he's worried about Leclerc kind of overshadowing him. And anytime you've got one of the greatest Formula One drivers of all time nervous to make a switch because this young gun named Charles Leclerc may put a shadow over your massive career, that is the biggest endorsement I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, and it's also probably the biggest motivating factor for Charles Leclerc to end up a Mercedes driver in 2021.
True story.
Because I can't see anything other than a ride swap in, you know, in an event like that. Although that might make it interesting, assuming they held on to him that long. Imagine Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel as F1 teammates. What would that be like?
Oh man, you know, two of the greats right there. It'd be remarkable. And you know, that's a story for another day, some of these storylines in Formula One going on. And as we've learned in the past, man, it's interesting when you get two of the best alongside each other at you know, at a Formula One team. I mean, I think about the only time I've ever seen it work was when Michael Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello were racing together. And we all know Barrichello probably would have been a four-time, five-time, you know, Formula One champion if he wasn't alongside Schumacher. And it takes the right guy in that second seat. And I don't know, Chris. I agree, though, with Leclerc. I think we may see him in Mercedes in 2021. But all that aside, going back to the original story, ones to watch in 2020, Leclerc absolutely on that list.
No doubt. And I mean, there are so many forms of motorsports that we're touching on with this list as well. We're not just, we've just hit the open wheelers heavy pretty hard the past few moments, but don't forget Supercross. Adam Santarulo moving up to the 450, threw the gauntlet down at the Monster Energy Cup and defeated Eli Tomac. And, you know, that's, Tomac can't be happy with that going into January, but not only Santarulo moving up, but Ken Roczen finally being healthy. You know, those are probably the two guys to watch in 450 to see what they're able to do. You know, Roczen has won the outdoor titles, but he's still, you know, he still needs to add that indoor crown to his list of accomplishments. Santarulo also, you know, kind of had bad luck at the very end of the 250 season last year and won the outdoor title. It just, it really takes a different breed to win indoors than it does to win outdoors. We know both of those guys are going to be right in the thick of things in the title hunt with Tomac once the outdoor season comes around in the summer. But indoors, it'll be interesting to see if either of them can capitalize on the clean slate. And for Adam, obviously, the new opportunity on the 450. And for Ken, obviously, the opportunity to finally ride healthy again and hopefully have a full season again. Yeah. You know, and man, I can't wait for A1. I'm just counting down the days. The fact that it's under a month makes me so happy. We just need to get through the holidays so we can get to Anaheim, right?
Yeah, get through the holidays, get to Anaheim. And, you know, and the one thing that's got me really, really excited, Chris, about Supercross, and I know we've got a lot more to talk about here, but is honestly, you know, the days gone by when you had Dungey dominating everybody and you had Carmichael dominating everybody, McGrath dominating everybody, Villopoto dominating everybody. Now we've got a Supercross where you've got El Hombre, you got Ciancerulo, you got Tomac, Roczen. I mean, the list goes on. You've got 5, 6, 7 guys that can still take a victory on any given weekend. And to me, that's great because that one team or that one guy that was leaps and bounds better than everybody else, those days have gone by and you've got, you know, you've got a group of talent that are all that close. And to me, that that really gets me excited for what we're going to see come A1. And, you know, A1, like we always say, it's you never know what's going to happen until they get on the gate, you know, there in Anaheim. And I'm expecting some fireworks.
Oh, exactly. And we just went through that whole list without name checking. Oh, I don't know, the guy who won the championship last year, Cooper Webb. Yeah, I mean, right? That just shows how deep this field is. Man, I remember watching and trying to get back into it a couple of years ago and kind of being like, well, where are the stars? You know, Dungey's gone. And boy, do I feel stupid now, you know, having seen the past couple of years and just seeing how deep the fields are. I mean, you've had guys just sort of pop their heads out and have some surprise strong runs. I mean, I remember Justin Barsha towards the beginning of last year, you know, running really well. Dean Wilson re-earning factory status, you know, after getting bumped briefly for Zach Osborne. You know, there are so many talented riders out there. It's, you know, like you said, at least 5, 6, maybe 7 guys on any given weekend. You might, depending upon the conditions, you know, you might even be able to broaden it to about 10. So, you know, man, I just can't wait for them to drop the gate.
Yep. All right. Well, Chris, we are going to do a third segment today. We're going to switch it up because we still got a bunch to talk about. And this is our go home episode for 2019. So we're going to take a short commercial break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. Got a couple little segments. Then we'll be back with Chris Leone here to wrap up 2019 and look forward to 2020. So see you after this break. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We got Chris Leone hanging out in the queue. Yes, we will get back to Chris here in hour number two, but we've got a couple of these short segments you know, that we got to get to before we get to hour number two. Do want to once again thank everybody tuning in nationally on Sports Byline USA. Those of you tuning in on iTunes, podcast, my website, thanks. Please go over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button. It helps us out. Leave a rating. And if you are one of our military members tuning in overseas on the American Forces Network, I got to tell you, you are probably my favorite listeners. No offense to everybody else, but first off, it's the holidays. If you're tuning in on AFN, you are a badass. That means you are military. You are doing what you do to support our country, to keep us the greatest nation in the world. I know you guys are overseas. Chances are you're probably not going to be home for the holidays. I, Jim Beaver, sincerely thank you for the service to our country and for everything that you do for us. It is absolutely my honor that this show gets aired on AFN, and you guys who and girls who are overseas get the opportunity to listen. And I hope somehow that I make your day a little bit better or take you away from what you're doing. Well, I don't want to take you away too too far, but, you know, kind of let you get lost into the world of motorsports and automotive, you know, just for a few hours, a couple times or once a week, you know. Seriously, though, thank you guys. I know it's tough. I know you guys are overseas. You're not going to be home for the holidays, but I want you to know that we are all thinking about you, and we all thank you for your service to our great nation. So, yes, we are going to take a short break, come back. It will be hour number two right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Chris Leone, Justin Lambert, and a whole lot more coming at you.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, rocking and rolling. Do want to mention big news coming out of the world of off-road. Red Bull, I guess this would be a Dirtfish Rally report, kind of, right, for the week. Brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. But Red Bull, they've announced the Red Bull Off-Road Team USA, the Red Bull Junior Off-Road Junior Team USA, and the three drivers in that, Blade Hildebrand, Mitch Guthrie Jr., and Seth Quintero, all veterans of the show, but this is an amazing program. So Seth too young to compete in Dakar. So Blade Hildebrand and Mitch Guthrie Jr., they are actually headed to Saudi Arabia to race in the Dakar Rally for Red Bull. So that is huge news. A couple more Americans competing over there. Then you've got Seth Quintero, who I think he's probably about a year away from possibly being able to compete in the Dakar Rally. So really, really excited about that. These guys are also going to be competing here in the States at some of the premier events in the United States. MIP 400, Baja 500, Vegas Torino. They'll also be at Silkway Rally, Morocco Rally, Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge, as well as the Dakar Rally, mix and match for all of them. This is a massive, massive news. And not only that, but Red Bull, I don't know if it's along with Polaris or who, but they designed this new vehicle. It's called the OT3, and it is completely badass. You can check it out. It's all over Red Bull's website and the internet at this point. But they designed a side-by-side from scratch to compete in these long-distance rallies, and the thing looks absolutely insane. I mean, it is absolutely insane. So I know Race Desert's got a big feature on the front page of their site. Everybody's picked up on this story at this point, but I just got to tell you, this thing, I didn't see this one coming. I've heard rumors about some stuff with Red Bull and some of the younger kids, but this is this really, really is next level stuff. And it's going to put a trio of Americans in the Dakar Rally. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And, you know, with the long-term goal of them moving up through the ranks and, you know, possibly, you know, running some of the open class vehicles and things like that. But for Red Bull to scratch build a side-by-side, I'm assuming it may be tied in with Polaris, but I know Mitch Guthrie and Seth Quintero, obviously they are Polaris athletes. You know, maybe there's a tie in there, but I just got to say this is a big deal for all involved, and this is definitely something you ought to look into if you haven't had the chance already. So, yeah, that was your Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information on the web, www.dirtfish.com. Don't forget, use a coupon code DOWNDIRTYDF. That's DOWNDIRTYDF. DF. That will get you 15% off any and all classes. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty radio show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I know we had a little break there in the middle, a couple of segments, but we still got Chris Leone hanging out on the line. We were talking 20 to watch in 2020, and I guess, you know, I guess, Chris, we can talk more about some of the riders and drivers to watch. I know we still got a few names on the list. You're still cranking that out. And I do want to, you know, in this last segment, I know we've got to let you go at some point because we got a whole lot more to get to here on the show. But, you know, I want to talk about some of the events to watch out for also. But before we get to that, I know, you know, you've been cranking on there. I mean, who's some of the names we missed? I know you've had Mia Chapman on there, Jesse Owens, a couple of young dirt slingers here in off-road, recent guests here on the show. But, you know, what? Who else do you have on the list that maybe we have glazed over that we probably ought to talk about?
Well, we haven't touched anything in the world of NHRA yet. And one of the names that actually you had picked first on the list. And, you know, I actually felt bad when I saw it, you know, that I hadn't thought of it a little more quickly, is Austin Proc.
Yeah.
You know, driving Top Fuel for John Force Racing. And anytime you're racing for John Force, who, you know, we talked earlier about how bombastic of a figure John Force is. I mean, if you're going to make it with that team, you better put up or shut up. And Austin Proc put up as a rookie. He made it to the playoffs. He took his first victory the same weekend that John Force finally got 150, I might add. So certainly a special weekend for that team. You know, his father, Jimmy, the engine tuner for Robert Heitz. So there's, you know, there are some deep family ties there. Managed to win the NHRA's answer to a Rookie of the Year award in 2019. And, you know, well-deserved. Austin Proc is one of those drivers who has just got so much potential. You know, the latest in a long line of top drivers that John Force Racing has put out there over the years. It's going to be exciting to see how his career evolves, to see how quickly he gets up there with, you know, his teammate Brittany Forrest, with Steve Torrence, who's now got two titles in a row, with, you know, just with all of the other top names in Top Fuel. I mean, we just talked about it in the last segment in Supercross, how many different drivers can win. I mean, I think we saw six different winners in the first six Top Fuel races last year, something like that. And it took quite a while for Steve Torrence, as dominant as he was in 2018, sweeping the playoffs in 2018, sweeping that countdown. It took him quite a while to finally get his first Wally of 2019. Of course, all hell broke loose once he did. The floodgates opened. He won like five in a row. But, you know, there's a lot of talent in that Top Fuel class. But Austin Proc entering his sophomore season really has to be kind of the driver to watch for me when it comes to NHRA, certainly in Top Fuel, but maybe across the board.
Yeah, no, Proc, you know, and that's the thing. You get signed by John Force Racing for whatever, and you get that endorsement, and, you know, you got to put up or shut up, you know, and Robert Height, proof in the pudding, man. He was able to put it all together. But, you know, those rides with John Force Racing, they don't come very often. And John Force, they groom legends over there, you know, and you're not going to stick around long if you stumble. And that being said, John Force isn't going to put anybody in a seat that's going to stumble. But that being said, you got a lot of pressure, you know, running, you know, those cars for JFR. So it is definitely one to watch. But, you know, kind of moving forward here, Chris, let's talk a little bit about some of the events to watch. I know, you know, obviously – I think a big one for me, it's coming in a few weeks, A1 Supercross. We talked about that, but I feel like that, you know, as big as Monster Energy Cup is, as big as the finale in Vegas is the first part of May, A1 is a massive event. All the celebrities from Southern California come out, all the legends of, you know, Supercross. It's the only thing going on that time of the year. I mean, it's just massive.
No doubt, Jim. And, you know, anytime you can win A1, you set the tone for your season. You know, we've seen riders win A1 in the past that we have not expected to win A1. We've seen guys come out with strong performances in A1 that we haven't expected, and we've seen some really talented riders stumble out of the gate, you know, over the past few years. So, you know, Anaheim, like you said, it's just such a special event because of everybody who's on site for it. But it's at least, you know, it's got to be one of the most special events to win as well. Yeah, obviously there's the potential of $1 million on the line if you go win the Monster Energy Cup. Yeah, the season finale is always a big deal because you crown a champion. But, you know, A1 is to Supercross what the Daytona 500 is to NASCAR. You know, you win that, it's special. It's, you know, it's a tone setter. It's something that can really make your entire year if you're able to ride out of it with that momentum, you know. So I can't wait for A1 in particular. It's one of those events every single year that I've always just kind of got my calendar, got it circled on my calendar, and that whole SoCal stretch is exciting. But, you know, and a special, you know, a strong A1 always just makes it that much more special.
Yeah. Well, and I know we're going to already going to be cutting this third segment, you know, close, but, you know, I know obviously, you know, we got A1, we got, you know, we got Dakar and we got King of the Hammers coming right out of the box at the start of the year. Mint 400, that's an off-road. What are some of the other maybe pavement events you're looking forward to, Chris? I mean, I think honestly, all eyes are going to be on Haley Deegan, ARCA Daytona. I think that's going to be a massive event, probably one of the highest rated ARCA events in TV history, I would think.
Yeah, you would definitely think so. And, you know, seeing that first ARCA race of the season is always exciting. I mean, you know, seeing how Haley is going to stack up against that field. And obviously the fact that not only has ARCA been bought by NASCAR, I mean, we knew that that happened quite a while ago, but now that those regional levels have kind of been restructured by NASCAR, I think you're going to see most of the top talent running the full 20 race ARCA Menards Series season. And, you know, whether it's Daytona, whether it's the General Tire 150 at Charlotte, you know, whether it's Talladega, Kansas, it doesn't really matter. I think all of the ARCA races are going to be exciting. But yes, as you said, that that first race for Haley Deegan with DGR Crosley, you know, in ARCA and with Ford Performance in ARCA is really going to be something to watch. You know, pavement, obviously, when we look ahead to May, we're going to have the you know, the greatest day in racing where we've got Monaco, Indianapolis, and Charlotte. That's always such a fun one. You know, there are all sorts of IndyCar races that I could kind of name here. Long Beach is always one that particularly stands out. That's just so much fun to watch. The IndyCars returning to Richmond is going to be an interesting one. Seeing them on a, you know, seeing them on another short track. You know, IndyCar has been at Iowa for quite a while, but having another track under a mile on the schedule is always, you know, certainly interesting. Man, you know, it's hard to get to everything. You mentioned the Mint. Obviously, the Mint running is an independent event this year. It's going to be exciting to see how that goes down. You know, we came off of a really exciting short course season. I mean, you can name just about any event on the short course schedule. Looks like Lucas Oil Off-Road is going back to Utah, so that'll be pretty cool. You know, it's, we both did Crandon for the 50th anniversary, and obviously that was a hell of a time. You know, I've basically got my Labor Days booked for the rest of my life after you dragged me to that one. So, but man, you know, I'm always a sucker for Formula One in North America, so I'll be excited for, you know, all of those events. Man, I don't know. I guess the only one that I haven't really named is kind of an obvious one, you know, Daytona for NASCAR, because it's always exciting to see how that new season starts and, you know, see if anybody can pick up where they left off. Man, we forgot 30 to 40 great ones there. You know, I mentioned Labor Day weekend, obviously, you know, that's when the NHRA has its, you know, its biggest event in Indianapolis, the U.S. Nationals. Man, it's, we're never going to get to all of them. And the second that I'm off the line, I'm going to think of 10 and be like, oh, I'm an idiot. How did I not call that one out? You know, it's going to be another exciting year, and we'll have more power rankings along the way.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we got to cut to break. One of the ones I'm going to be tracking along this year, he's doing some marquee events, Indy 500. He'll actually be at Dakar, Fernando Alonso. So I think all things Alonso will be interesting to watch this year as well. But we got to take a short commercial break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We'll be back after this.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com. or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my Polaris Razor Factory Racing teammate, Justin Lambert, to the line, who, I don't know, about, 3 weeks ago now, Justin, you took home a win in a little thing called the Baja 1000, man. First off, congrats on that, dude. I guess that's a way to end the year on a high note, right?
Absolutely. Biggest race of the year and last race of the year, and finally got myself and the team a Baja 1000 win. So super pumped.
Well, you know, and it's funny because that one, I mean, the 1 year you guys actually, I think, swept Best in the Desert, right? And, I mean, you won just about everything there is to win in Best in the Desert. But Baja, that's just a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah, 2016 Best in the Desert season was a 7-race season, and we won every single race. And that was back when we were running an NA Polaris and racing against turbo cars. And I think we overalled 3 of those races. And, yeah, it was a great season for Best in the Desert. Although we did race Baja, the 500 and the 1000 that season, we couldn't bring anything better than a second home. But we had a Baja 500 win in 2017. And then I still had the Baja 1000 to scratch off my list and finally got her done.
Well, you know, and man, I think in turbo, things have changed, dude. And it seems like it's changing every single year. And I actually had – our car was built – what was it built in? 16, 17, 17. I don't know. It's dated at this point. We got a new one we're going to build about midpoint through this season. But you want to talk about a sport that's changed even since, like, 2016, you know, because our car, we were in it pretty deep. And you went by me at the UTV Worlds, and literally our car was doing – I was doing everything we could in our car, and you went by, and I just went, our car physically won't do that. And, you know, and I just started laughing because I'm like, man, how in 3-4 years, you know, the sport has changed that much where, you know, it seems like the turnover in our cars – I mean, it's like if you're not building a new car every couple of years, like you're just left behind, you know?
Yeah, we just finished a new car that we ran at Vegas to Reno and then the Laughlin Desert Classic, and then it's the one we just won the 1000 in. But prior to that, we had 2.5 seasons on our 2017 Polaris Razor XP Turbo and 2 big wins, you know, the Mint 400 50th anniversary and then that Baja 500. So that's a great car. I mean, technology is still changing. Right now, it's the little bells and whistles, but I think the big jumps are over. But I mean, right now, if you've got a turbo car and you've got, you know, axles and belts and clutches sorted out, you got a competitive car. I don't care if it's a brand new car or not. So I knew, you know, in 2016 we sort of waited and didn't go to the turbo class. We sort of waited because we knew there was going to be some learning curve. Little did we know that learning curve was going to cost us 2017 and 2018 having super successful seasons, but at least we got some podiums under our belts there. But, man, 2019, man, it was tough. We didn't have a podium all season long. Best in the Desert, we still finished 4th in points, but didn't get any podiums. So it was a Hail Mary for the Baja 1000, and luckily finally got a win under our belt for 2019. It was the biggest one of the year, so that's a bonus for us.
Well, and I think too, you know, that's saying something, because I think, you know, you talk about, you know, anybody looks at, you know, the turbo class and goes, all right, give me you know, five to ten teams you think that are gonna win on any given weekend, and your name is at the top of the list. You know what I mean? You guys and Guthrie's and Sims, and I mean, they're, you know, Blurton, and you know, there's quite a few there. But for you guys not to take a podium, I mean, I think it speaks to the health of the turbo class. I mean, we look at 60 plus entry fields and stuff like that, but you know, there's any given race 20 teams that can take a podium. You know, it's not, you know, there used to be a point in time where there's a handful and you knew they were all going to be in the mix for a top five, but dude, now it's like a crapshoot. You know, you finish top 15 at any given race, and it's probably a solid result, you know, at least in Best of the Desert.
Yeah, there's, I mean, talking 40, 50, 60, even 70 car fields, you know, just to get in the top 10 is an accomplishment. But you know, nowadays the competition's stiff, and props to all these other guys racing and joining the class. It makes it a lot of fun. But man, if you know, one flat tire, one broken belt, or one axle change, and it's kicking you off the podium nowadays. So there's guys out there making it super consistent and making it super competitive. So I think we finally got all our little gremlins sorted out. Maybe not all of them, but for the most part. So, I mean, Baja 1000, it was utterly flawless besides one flat tire, which is pretty expected for a Baja 1000 like we just had.
Yeah, well, you know, and how is it? I think it's probably ideal almost doing what you guys did, where you're debuting a car mid-season and you're kind of getting all the gremlins worked out. Obviously, we know they're worked out at the 1000, taking that victory. But heading into next year, you know, a lot of guys finish them up over the winter. And it's like Parker, they debut a new car, and it's like, oh, what gremlins are going to pop up now, you know? But you guys, I feel like, you know, heading into 2020, you guys should be on point, right? Because you've had that development work, so it's like entering the new season with a car you know is proven.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking that momentum and all the little tweaks and things we did before the 1000 and having that pay off. And now we're super ready to carry that on into Parker beginning of the season. So our hopes are high, and I believe we got the skills and hopefully the driver to get it done at Parker.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about Baja, though, we got to go back and talk to this one, because this is a wild Baja 1000. I know all the mud, the rain, like that threw everything in a, you know, into a bit of turmoil. I know they were saying UTVs probably, you know, had a bit of an advantage down there just with the four-wheel drive and being lightweight and kind of being able to billy goat over some stuff nobody else can. But how was the race for you guys? Because I know up front, Matlock, he was kind of shot out of a cannon there for a while. And then, you know, you guys were kind of – you were right in there, you know, and Wayne kind of stepped out and was doing his Wayne things. And then all of a sudden the race came back to you guys. I mean, kind of take us through that event, because it was pretty wild with all the mud down there and then just kind of how the start kind of came to you guys over about the midway point of the race.
Yeah, the weather was crazy down there. I mean, I don't visit Baja super frequent, usually only 2-3 times a year, and I've never seen it rain down there. So to see it 4 inches in 2 days was pretty nuts. And it kind of worried everybody, but in reality we knew, okay, well, everybody's got to go through the same mess. But postponing the race 24 hours, great idea, fixed some things, didn't really have to change the course much at all. So that was awesome. But we, you know, we had a 27 car field in the turbo class, and we started 13th. It was actually right where I wanted to start, right in, you know, mid pack. And all the guys that have been doing well in score starting up front. I think Wayne was fourth or fifth or somewhere in there starting. Actually, we were right where we wanted to be. And we knew that was going to be a 20 hour race, maybe more. And so there was no reason to just go nuts, you know, the first half of the race. All we needed to do was just keep the leaders in our reach, you know, 15-20 minutes. And by the time I got in the car, which was at race mile 340 of that 800-mile race, and we did just that. Victor Herrera and Adrian Orellana, they started the race for me. So they ran from the start to 340, and they stuck to the game plan. Maybe a few more nerfs than I was expecting. We got a couple of dents on front and rear bumpers, but this guy did a good job handing me the car in great shape at 340, literally, like, I don't know, 16, 17 minutes behind the leader, who was I believe it was Matlock at that point. So we went out into San Felipe, which is, you know, one of the roughest parts of the course, and I just saved it through the rough stuff and went fast where I had some good lines and where I could go fast. And then by the time we got to 580, there was race mile 580, there was 220 miles left. And that's the first time I asked, all right, where are we at? And we took off from pit, and they told me Matlock's 15 minutes in front of you. And so we poured it on right there. That's pretty much when the race started for us. And 50 miles later, we were passing Matlock because he had a couple a mechanical issue. And so it slowed him down a bit, and we got past. And man, we just had to save it and get to the finish line. But that's a little nerve-wracking in its own, because you don't know who's coming behind you. And when the pit is hurrying and they tell you, hey, you got a car 4 minutes behind you, we don't know if it's, you know, if it's Wes Miller, or if it's Mark Burnett, you know, any of these other guys, Schuler. But it happened to be Matlock. So we knew we were faster than him because he was having some issues. So we poured it on that last 70 miles and put another 10 minutes on him. And ended up at the finish line with about a 19-minute gap.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny, you know, you talk about saving the car and things like that and kind of letting a race come to your favor. And it's funny because there's not actually a lot of races we can do that at anymore, because it used to be like these long distance, even like a Mint 400. It was like, oh, yeah, we're gonna play it easy for a while. Now, like you and I both know, like, that's crazy. I mean, you know, somebody's going to pin it for all 400 miles at the Mint, and whoever doesn't break is going to be the guy that walks away. So it's kind of funny that there's still that one race a year where you can really kind of play it safe. But I feel like there's few and far between. I mean, the Mint, you may lay up a little bit, run at 95% or something the first lap and kind of get through it, but there's not much leeway there like there is, say, at the 1,000, you know?
Yeah, if you're talking a 7-hour race or less, you pretty much got to run 90% these days. There's just a lot of hitters out there that, you know, can go have a good race. So the Mint 400, you know, for UTV, that's a 6.5-hour race, basically. So you really need to be on it. I mean, you can run, usually I'll run the first lap at 80%, the second lap at 90, and the last lap at 95 or 100, just depending on where we're at. But, you know, the thing is, you just never know how it's going to turn out until the race starts. And, of course, somebody could go, you know, run 95% at a Baja 1000 and maybe not even have one problem, and that guy's going to kill it. So you just never know until the race starts and things start to unfold.
All right, and we are going to catch up with Justin Lambert a little bit more here after the break. Before we get to the break, though, got to remind you about one of our partners, our good friends there at iRacing. You know, race online from the comfort of your own home against competitors from all around the world. iRacing brings the competition of NASCAR, IndyCar, IMSA, World of Outlaws, Rallycross, and now the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series direct to you. Take on the top ovals, road courses, and dirt tracks in the world, from Daytona to Nürburgring to the Chili Bowl, complete with iRacers around the globe, and everything from pick-up and play racing to leagues and world championships. And you know what? Use a promo code PR-JimBeaver. That's PR-JimBeaver. And it'll get you 50% off any new subscriptions for 3 months at iRacing.com/memberships. Sim racing is iRacing, and we will see you on the track. And, yes, we have a whole lot more coming with Justin Lambert right after this break. Once again, go and check us out. If you got questions for Lambert, it is at JimBeaver15 on Twitter. Hit me up there, and we will be back with more here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I got to tell you, hour number two, we are knee-deep in it, and a whole lot more to come.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver hanging out here with Baja 1000 champ, factory Polaris Racing driver Justin Lambert. Justin, you know, I feel like a couple years ago, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, everybody was talking about axles and belts, axles and belts. You're worried about blowing axles. Everybody's worrying about blowing belts and stuff like that. And I feel like all of us now, we've got to the point where, you know, we might worry about a belt here and there if you're just flogging it on a dry lake bed, you know, at 95 for a long time or something like that. But I feel like the problems we had with these cars, you know, 2, 3 years ago, most of them are kind of, we've all kind of worked through them and figured it out, you know?
Yeah, I think axles for sure. You know, jumping from naturally aspirated cars to turbo cars, there's just so much more torque. And with that torque comes more heat. And so I think everybody's got to figure out what grease to use, what, you know, what brand axles to use, things like that. So everybody's got that sorted out. Clutch stuff, on the other hand, is still still a little bit of a thorn for, you know, all of the brands of UTVs that use CVT clutches and belts. But just because, you know, building a desert car like this, some people don't realize how much heavier these cars are. I mean, you're swapping from non-beadlock wheels OEM to beadlock wheels and larger tires and spare parts and light bars and tools and spare tire, spare axle, all those things. I mean, you end up with an extra 500 pounds on a car, and that's really takes a toll on the load created on the clutch system and the belt. So, you know, we're still not able to go as fast as we want to go in certain sections, and definitely the high-speed stuff is where we definitely got to watch belt temps and things like that. So you don't end up on the side of the course changing a belt, which is not fun for anybody. So, yeah, I think everybody's getting dialed in on what the limitations are, and then as we find little gains here and there, I mean, we just end up going faster and faster. So it's a lot of fun, good time to be racing UTVs, and it's real fun to watch the sport grow and be a part of that growth.
Yeah, well, you know, and talking about you guys, I think you're the interesting, you're the interesting guy where it's a race on Sunday or a race on Saturday, sell on Monday type of thing. And, you know, it's funny because you start looking around at other racers and, you know, in the past few years, like there's a lot of guys starting to, you know, take on Cognito Arms and things like that. And, you know, recreationalists, I'm sure, you know, have you seen your guys' race program? I mean, in the activation around it really, help support your brick and mortar business, you know, that you guys have, the rest of the year when you're not racing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm super proud of, besides winning the Baja 1000, is I get to go out there and prove the product that my company designed and engineered and built and sells to the customer. That customer, whether they're recreation or a racer, they've got the proof in their hands that we did our homework and we proved to them that the money they spend with us, they're getting their value out of it. So I'm super proud of my team for that, the team at Cognito and the race team. But, we actually had the first four UTVs that crossed the finish line in order. It was myself and then Wayne Matlock, Kristen Matlock, and then Matt Burrows. All four had Cognito suspension components. So first four cars across the line, all Cognito. I mean, talk about a statement right there. So, yeah, really proud of our brand and you know, I don't call our stuff the best because there could be other stuff out there that might be better that I don't know about. But to go out there and lay down results like that and then see other brands that are competitors of Cognito claim they have the best, I don't like to claim it. I like to just go out on the track and prove what we have is one of the best.
Yeah. Well, and I think, yeah, like you said, that the quote unquote saying you're the best, it's a bit of a gray area there. And like you said, I think your guys' approach to it's like, yeah, we're not going to claim we're the best. We'll just show you the results sheet. That's probably more of a statement than any kind of advertising you guys could do.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it's a cutthroat market these days in UTV. There's a lot of builders out there, a lot of people. There's some garage builders that do some nice stuff as well. A lot of small businesses doing stuff. And there's businesses like Cognito that are striving to have the customer service and the sales teams and the marketing and the nice website and all that stuff and spending money on engineering and not just building parts and saying they're the best. You know, we're doing it right. We're doing it the right way. So real proud of that.
Yeah, well, and with the UTV industry, I mean, it's blown up, and I don't go into any, you know, any kind of meeting with potential partners or anything else where, you know, because I got my hands on a bunch of stuff where UTV isn't at the forefront of the conversations. And you guys, I mean, you have the UTV business. You guys also make, you know, suspension for full-size trucks and things like that. I mean, you know, how big is the UTV side of your business? I mean, obviously, you guys, we know the truck market just slays. You know, anybody can go to SEMA or any of the shows and go to any parking lot around the country and you know, at least the Southwest and see that. But, you know, how big has the UTV side of the business become for you guys? Almost equal to the truck, or does the truck still outweigh it?
Well, we started in 2001. I started this business in a chicken coop, literally. But in 2001, we started with truck product, truck and SUV, lift kits, leveling kits, steering upgrades, things like that. Over the years, I've got a few patents, or actually one patent and another couple patents pending. But the one we have is for a steering fix for GM trucks. So that's really launched the brand for the truck and SUV side. But when UTV stuff came on, you know, 10 years after that, I figured, you know what, UTV is a good market to get in. Not only is it fun, but every single person who has a UTV has a truck. It doesn't work the other way. Not everyone who has a truck has a UTV, but definitely every single person who has a UTV is going to have a truck. So it's nice to be able to cross market, and we gain followers and customers that didn't even know about Cognito because they heard about or saw us at the races or were using our UTV product. But UTV product for us is about 30% of our business. So the truck and SUV, 70%. And over the last, I'd say, 3 years, it's pretty much grown pretty even across the board. UTV is difficult, though, because it's changing so quick. It's hard to get an ROI on the money that we're putting into engineering and development. Truck and SUV, on the other hand, you know, those platforms usually last between 7 to 10 years. To where UTV, it's like 2 to 4 years.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, man, your engineers there, you guys got to be like pinned all the time, you know, especially on the UTV side. Like you said, car and truck, you know, they're going to last a while, but it seems like every 2 years or something. And the manufacturers might make a small tweak and nobody will actually notice it other than a guy like you, where you go, oh man, they changed this thing by a quarter of an inch and it throws everything off. And then, you know, here you guys go again with an update for this year model and stuff like that. I mean, it's got to be, you know, especially now with all the different manufacturers getting involved in the UTV game. I mean, it's got to have you guys pinned like 24/7 on development.
It is. And it's, I mean, little changes like that, and you just want to shake your head, but it's not going to do any good shaking your head. So you just got to, you got to adapt and adjust and move on and trying to make the best out of it. But yeah, it does make it challenging. So, you know, although UTV is the funnest part and probably what I love, you know, more than the truck stuff, to be honest, but it's harder to make money at just because it's changing so quick. And truck stuff, generally little changes here and there. You're going to sell more products, so you can take whatever time or design you had to invest in it, and you're going to make, you know, more money over the long run on it, or return on that investment. Making money is subjective, but yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And at 40, I'm 44 years old now, and when I started this thing 18 years ago, I never thought it would be this difficult. I mean, business is just tough, and this segment with aftermarket parts is not easy. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah, well, and I know it's one of those too. When you start out small, and I've done that, you know, and you take on an employee, and then a second employee, and then a third employee, and you know, all of a sudden you start, you know, not only is the business there, but then you've grown so much where then you start worrying about, man, like I've got other people to worry about, you know, and it's like before I ever even pay myself, I got to make sure that we got enough money in the door to pay these people before I can take a check, you know, and like it adds that other layer there, you know, where now all of a sudden you're not just worrying about yourself and keeping the doors open to the shop. You got to worry about everybody else and them making their mortgage payments and stuff, you know?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, the people are the most important part, because, you know, without them, you can't go design new product and market new product. You just can't do it all on your own. So the people are the most important part. And, you know, these days I'm learning that the hard way. I just, you know, in the past 10 years or 15 years, I always wondered why can't people just work as hard as I do or understand it like I do? And it just, not everybody's the same. So it doesn't work that way. So learning how people work is kind of been part of my homework lately, is learning how people think, how they work, and what their goals are, and trying to build the best team possible is kind of my next challenge to tackle.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about tackling some challenges, what's in store for you guys in 2020? Obviously, you know, you're back with the Desert program. I don't know. Things are a little bit crazy. I know Best in the Desert's got their series. They've added events. They got their Triple Crown. I mean, there's, you know, what the Martellis have got with the Mint and UTV Worlds. You got the 4A Score Series. I mean, where's I got to tell you, running everything would be pretty much an impossible task at this point for anybody. What's the schedule look like for you guys?
Yeah, there's a lot of racing going on lately. And then 2020, there's even more racing.
Yeah.
So, you know, BITD has 7 UTV races. Score's got 4 races. Martelli's got 2 races. There's no way I can hit them all. I just can't afford to. Although I'd love to go chase it at every race. But I think we're going to focus on the big ones. The BITD Triple Crown, which is pretty new. We're going to go run all 3 of those races for sure, and probably at least 2 or 3 more of the BITD races. For sure, got to hit the Mint 400 and the UTV World Championships. I mean, for my sponsors, Cognito, Monster Energy, Polaris Razor, you know, they're going to want to see us go to the big events and get good content and popular content. So that's going to be the goal, although one of these days I'd like to give a full Score season a go and run for some points championship and Score. But right now I've never run the 250, San Felipe 250, and then that new Baja 400. I haven't run either. So right now we're going to have to pace ourselves and kind of play it by ear, but for sure we're going to be at the Parker 250 and the Mid 400. Those will be the next two races on the schedule, 100%.
Yeah, I got to ask, because I know I'm going to KOH this year with a Turbo S, and we're going to see what the hell I'm getting myself into. But any interest on your part on King of the Hammers? I feel like that might be a something in your wheelhouse at some point.
Yeah, all that racing I just talked about, and I left out King of the Hammers. But King of the Hammers is a big one, a real big one. And while I would like to go give it a go there, it's going to take a lot for me to get prepared for a race like that. And at this point, with my business and my son and expanding the business and all the other racing I got going on, I'm going to have to stay away from King of the Hammers this year. Maybe next year, we'll see. But I know that to be competitive, I'm going to have to go spend weeks down there learning rocks and learning that terrain and all those runs down there. So I'm definitely not going to go unprepared. That'd be kind of a waste of money. I'm not that lucky. So that roll of the dice, I don't think would yield me very good results.
Yeah, that's my approach. I'm like, yeah, year one, I've told everybody, like, no expectations. If I go and finish this thing, I'm going to be stoked. I think Scanlon and, you know, those guys kind of did it right last year. And they just kind of snuck in and got a finish there. And I'm like, you know what, if I can do that year one, like, let's do it. So I agree with you, though. I've been wanting to do it for the 3 or 4 years. And, like, this year was the year we finally pulled the trigger and got it all put together. But it was, you want to do it right if you're going to do it, especially a team like you where, you know, all the eyeballs are going to be on you wherever you show up. You know,
absolutely.
So, well, man, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. I know you got business to run. I guess this is I don't think things pick up for you guys around the holidays. I'm sure the things got to have a little bit of an uptick, right? People buying some Christmas presents for their husbands and things like that.
It's been a bit of a different year. You know, I've never fought so hard for so little growth in business, and just aftermarket aftermarket product companies just seem to be having a little bit of a tough year, but the economy is still good. So maybe people are hanging on to their money. We'll see. Maybe it's going to be super good Christmas for a lot of enthusiasts out there. But yeah, we're running we're doing some things that we've never done before, and working real tight with dealers and things like that, and pushing towards the public. So right now things are hopping pretty good, but you know, in the little downturns that you have, you just got to sit back, make adjustments, and get ready to go for the next wave. So that's what we're doing as well. So we're closed over the holidays for a little bit of vacation time, but plus to do inventory. So come back January 2nd, we'll be ready to hit it hard.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, buddy. Always fun catching up. Congrats again on the Baja win. And I guess I'll see you in a couple of weeks here at the Parker 250.
Yeah, we'll see you there, and I'll come watch you at King of the Hammers.
All right. Hopefully it's not too much. Hopefully you're not seeing too much, like rolled over cars or anything. It's just me working my way through. And we'll be back to wrap things up here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, after we take this short commercial break.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Well, welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, as we close out 2019 and look forward to 2020. Thank you guys for joining us. Once again, please hit us up on iTunes if you haven't already. Hit the subscribe button. Please leave a rating. It helps us out a ton. If you want to leave a review, much appreciated on that as well. But please take the time to leave a rating for sure and hit the subscribe button. Got to thank all of our amazing partners. Polaris Razor, General Tire, Four Wheel Parts, Vision Wheel, Gibson Exhaust, Dirtfish. Don't forget, use that coupon code DOWNDIRTYDF. That'll get you 15% off. Our good friends there at iRacing, it's PR-Jim Beaver for 50% off. Super ATV, Impact Race Products, and everybody that continues to support us and keep us in business almost a decade strong. Trust me, we appreciate your continued support of the show. I'm at JimBeaver15. If you want to follow along on social media, I would love to hear from you guys. You know, love your feedback. I love to see your pictures and you know what our fans like to do on a daily, weekend, you know, on a weekly basis, especially out on the weekends, man. Lots of fun had by all, I think. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's been a great, great time, great year. Lots to come in 2020. You know, I can't. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg. I know. Be following along on my social channels though, because we have some massive announcements in regards to the show coming in the next 2 weeks over the holidays. So hopefully you guys have a great holiday season. Enjoy your time. Be safe, and you know, spend some great time with your families. And hopefully you get out in the dirt or the snow. Who knows? Maybe even the water, depending on where you're at. And we'll see you next time here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.